Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And even molds. I'm Michael Ware, founder of Ware Landscape and Snow Removal, and I'm so proud to say that every day our customers call us their heroes for fixing near impossible drainage problems that no one else could solve. Our innovative and one-of-a-kind French drain systems capture rainwater and snowmelt and keep it away from your house for good. We are so confident in our work that we offer a 10-year no-questions-asked guarantee, and if for any reason water comes back, we are coming back to fix it for free. Say goodbye to your muddy mess and hello to your family making memories in your new dry backyard. Go Illini!
Solve the impossible. Call Ware Landscaping to set up your free, no-obligation landscape drainage analysis. That's 800-28-DRAIN. 800-28-DRAIN. Ware Landscaping, your landscaping drainage experts. Call 800-28-DRAIN.
Get your retirement on track with Trajan Wealth, your local, trusted financial fiduciary. Contact us today at 630-360-9000 or go to TrajanWealth.com.
Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Bulls Draft headquarters at the Advocate Center, it's time for the Scores Bulls Draft Special with your hosts, play-by-play voice of the Bulls Radio Network, Chuck Swirsky, along with Mark Grody on the official radio home of the Bulls, Sports Radio 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Chuck and Mark.
What's going on, everybody? We are bringing this program to you live from the Advocate Center, just down the block from United Center. Thank you so much for joining us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're literally on the court. We are in the gym where the Bulls practice as Chuck Swirsky and I get ready for the 2024 draft, where the Bulls have the 11th overall pick for this season. And as we sit here, Chuck, I should give a little bit of what we are seeing right now. It's a relatively small amount of media here right now, but they will start to trickle in, and some of them are probably outside getting a snack right now, but they will begin to trickle in as we get closer to the draft, which actually takes place starting at 7 o'clock. We have been told too that the rooms just to the right of where we are sitting under one of the baskets, that is actually the Bulls war room, where the powers that be, like Arturs Karnišovas and Mark Eversley and Billy Donovan, will be working. So we are right there for that. Billy Donovan was here earlier working out, doing the treadmill work, and we also can see even still right now from where we are in the open glass office here at the Advocate Center. We see the owner of the Bulls, the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, is up there as well. And so everybody is here. The Bulls stars are here and about as we get ready. And it is my honor to bring in the longtime voice of the Chicago Bulls, the one and only, the great, the bearded, yeah, Chuck Swirsky.
Well, Mark, good to see you. Good to see Ryan. Good to see our intern, although I don't like that word. the terminology. I'll just say that Peter Hansen.
He's our free assistant. How about that?
He is our assistant today. Okay. And I'm loving it. From the University of Illinois, Terrence Shannon to the rack. Count it. And a foul. Well, I mean, you know, when I first met Peter,
yes.
I said, Peter, let me ask you a question. I mean, you follow the Illini. You're involved with the broadcast on Big Ten Plus, all that good stuff. I said, does Terrence Shannon have a right hand? You know, like, does he shake everyone's hand with his left because he's a natural left hand? But I'll tell you what, I think he's on the board
really?
For 11th. I think Devin Carter's on the board. I think Ronnie Holland is on the board. Mm. Cody Williams might be on the board. I'll tell you, I love the draft. This is an underwhelming draft, I'm not going to lie. I know there are a lot of optics on the 2025 draft already. We've seen what happened last night with the Knicks and the Nets. Five number one picks on their way to the Nets because the Knicks are in all-win mode. And Mikal Bridges is a terrific talent. I still think Boston will go in as the team to beat next year. But having said all this, the 2025 draft is loaded, absolutely loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And the emphasis right now for a number of teams, like a trade we just saw, Washington and Portland with Denny Avdia, who had a breakout year for the Wizards, going to Portland for Malcolm Brogdon, who has a year to go on his deal. So he's off the books for 25. And Portland sends the 14th pick to the Wizards. This is all about draft picks now for Washington. They're in a major rebuild. The Nets are in a major rebuild. So right now the Nets and OKC have a combined 8 first-round picks of the 30 selections next year. 8 of the 30, that's nearly one-third of the first round is going to two teams.
That's amazing. How would you, since we're talking about rebuilds and using that word, where would you characterize where the Bulls are going into this draft? I mean, there's so much to talk about, and we'll have 3 hours tonight to discuss it with you. But it feels like a turning point, whether for better or for worse, for this season in terms of the direction that the Bulls are going, with the unknowns of Zach LaVine, the unknown still of DeMar DeRozan, and the known, obviously, the trade that just went down for the Bulls and moving Alex Caruso.
Well, I mean, listen, I think the Bulls are in a major rebuild? Absolutely not. Do I think they want to add young athletic talent? Absolutely, like Giddey. Now, we all love and appreciated what Caruso gave this franchise. Everyone enjoyed and embraced what he brought to the ball club every day. He came to play. Alex Caruso is a winning player. Having said that, if you're going to look at your ball club and say to yourself, all right, you've got 1 year to go on your deal, and he wants an extension and deserves an extension, but where are we at right now with our ball club? So with the acquisition of Giddey is very, very good with the ball in his hands. He has great vision. He will no longer play as a secondary ball handler. He's going to have the ball. He has an exquisite passer, Mark. He needs to work on his jump shot. And he's going to get in the lab with Peter Patton, the sensational shooting coach of
former
the
DePaul
Chicago
guy.
Bulls.
Yep, right?
Yep. I called his games in his freshman year.
Oh, you did. Oh, so he was still doing.
He was still intersected with
both of you. Okay.
Yep. And so I think you're going to see a different Josh Giddey with the Chicago Bulls. Listen, I hated to see Caruso go, but I'd rather have Josh Giddey than the reported 13th pick in the draft at Sacramento. And I don't know if that story is true or not. If it's true, would you rather have Josh Giddey or the 13th pick? I think AK and Mark hit a home run on that. So, having said all this, the story with LaVine, I mean, you read KC Johnson, he's got LaVine one day going to Utah, he's got him going to Philadelphia, and now you got DeMar DeRozan going to the Clippers. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Where's Casey? Get him over here.
Yeah.
I saw him walking around here. Hasn't he been? I mean, you're seeing
here.
All your friends. You're Joe Colley walking around here.
Let's just throw things on the wall and see what sticks. Anyway, I'm not into the speculation business.
Oh, well, hey, man, this is Sports Talk Radio, Chuck.
Yes.
You got 3 hours, man. You better get into it just for the 3 hours, and then you can go back to being non-speculation.
I'll tell you what.
Yes.
Do we have to take – I'll give you a little tease.
Okay.
I'll tell you, if if he's available, I'll tell you who I would draft with the 11th pick.
Okay, well,
and this is just my opinion, not the Bulls. I'm not in the upstairs room.
Okay.
I don't like calling it the war room, by the way.
Well, okay, you don't like the war room? You don't like intern? I mean, you're really laying some words out here, man.
I think it's a disservice to the climate. And I'm not trying to be politically correct, but I just don't like the quotation, the war room.
Yeah, no, I understand. These are sensitive times.
Yeah, yes. But I mean, we got people deciding on basketball players.
Know,
it's not a war room.
But we always do that with sports. It's like the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
I mean, what? So we got a testosterone level and a macho thing?
I think it is something like that. Yeah, it's just all taking off of the armed services. So I don't know. If you would like, Chuck, we could come up with
Douglas
another name
MacArthur
for it.
Douglas MacArthur ain't walking through the door. Okay? Just
That's
saying.
True. I mean, no, it's true.
Schwarzkopf, with the Iraqi war back in the day.
Right, General Schwarzkopf.
Yeah, Desert Storm.
He is not walking
through the
door.
That point guard from what? No.
Who's the guy? Franks or some Bubba Franks? No, that was the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah,
there was a general named Franks, though, I think. Herman Franks was a Cubs manager.
He was the Cubs manager.
Yeah, I don't think I know for a fact that
this
Herman
Franks. This is really off the rails in the first 10 minutes.
Herman Franks is not walking through that door.
Actually, you know what? Just a side story. When I first came to Chicago, he was the manager of the Cubs.
Yes.
And this is in the final days of the Herman Franks regime.
Okay.
Remember, he's the one who gave the checkbook and showed reporters that he was leaving the Cubs because he had a country club and a golf course that he was going to write a check to play, I think it was in the state of Utah.
Okay.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. If you want to Google it, make me a liar, so be it. I think it was Utah. And he just resigned. Last week or two of the season. And I had just introduced myself, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'll say hello, new guy in town
bit. Yeah.
And he blew me off, and the next thing I know, he's writing a check to join a country club in Utah. So there you go. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to tell you who I would take with the 11th.
Number 11 overall.
Not AK, but just me.
Okay. Let's hear it. You want to do it right now? We got time to do this now.
You want to do it now, Ryan?
Is this a tease? Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought you thought, okay, we can do it now. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the story. I'm looking at the Bulls, and you know I'm very passionate about the Bulls. I love the Bulls, and I want this ball club to win.
Yes.
All right, so, yeah, I'm a big passionate Bears fan too, the whole bit.
I know
so
you are, man.
I just love Chicago. So I'm looking at the roster, and this club, you can use help everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, and that's
yes.
not a criticism.
Height,
but,
rim protection, shooting, yes.
Everything. So, and certain positions are better stock than others. And I'm looking at this. I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm thinking big picture here. Get it? Big picture.
Yeah, big picture.
And I would take with the 11th pick, do I think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Would I take this player? Yes. And that is Zach Edey.
Really? The 7'4" Purdue monster of a center.
And listen, there's no such thing as a perfect player in this draft or any draft. There are better drafts than other seasons, but there is not a player that comes into the league and you say to yourself, Michael Jordan, he was perfect.
Right.
No, he wasn't. He had to work on his three-point shot, okay? He needed to work on his ball handling, but, you know, his athleticism got him by, and then, of course, his passion, and he got stronger because he was getting beat up by the Pistons in the playoffs, and he said enough's enough. He was in the weight room the next day. Having said all this, I don't think you can coach height. I think he was very well coached at Purdue under Matt Painter, and I think he can be a decade-plus player in the NBA, and I think that he would be terrific. And if I was picking, which I'm not, I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts, and I'm not AK and Mark, and they know so much.
You're more
so
than
much
Joe
more
Bag
than
of Donuts, by the way.
But,
you like to call yourself that.
You're
a little bit
I'm
more.
I'm just a guy, you know, do right donuts.
Maybe
on
a nicer
Erie
dessert.
Street.
What's a nice dessert? What's that thing you start on fire? The Bananas Foster. You're more of a Bananas Foster.
Yeah.
So you at least advance yourself to that
well,
level.
Well, Neil Funk was a Bananas Foster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in New Orleans, big time. But see how this just, you know, just morphs into different stories.
Oh, that's the beauty of it, man.
We went from Herman Franks to Bananas Foster. Anyway, I'm just saying that I'm a Zach Edey guy, and for whatever direction the Bulls want to, whether they stay with Vooch, whether they want to keep him for this season next year, I think Zach Edey would be a great, great fit for the Bulls.
Well, I will say that, and I had Mark Schanowski on yesterday, who, of course, has done everything with the Bulls, including pre- and post-game. He's done some play-by-play and all that. But he reminded me that, you know, take a look. It's becoming the big man is back. You know what I mean? It's never going to be like Kevin McHale posting up down low and Charles Barkley and Karl Malone back to the basket style of basketball.
Right.
But we are seeing the big men make a, and it sounds weird to say because it's basketball, make a comeback. And it just so happens that the Bulls have a need there too. Some of the other big men in this draft class, Donovan Clingan, that's another guy that gets talked about a lot. He could very well be top five.
Well, the only way the Bulls get him is if they move up. He's not going to be there at 11.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I do wonder how motivated the Bulls will be in this draft. Will they? And I know that nothing has been ruled out because that's what general managers and operations guys say. But I do wonder how motivated they would be to move up. Now, answering my own question, I don't know that they would be that motivated just because of what we know about this draft and that there is nothing exact about it. Nobody really has a good sense of who the best player in this draft is this year. There is no, like last year when the Bulls didn't have a first-round pick, there was Victor Wembanyama. And as you mentioned, 2025, that is the next time that we start to look at potential generational players. So I'll say that they probably won't based on that, but I don't know. You know, in terms of needing a big man, it is real.
Well, you're right, and they've got to look at that. They got to look at wing players as well, and just continue to add. And that's why I think the Giddey acquisition was terrific, and I'm all in on that. But this is where this draft is at. I think that no one really knows the impact that Zachary Richiche, who could go number one, to Atlanta from France. Alexander Sarr, also from France, the 7-footer going to Washington. And then you've got, you know, Shepard, the shooting guard out of Kentucky, who, by the way, his dad was actually in the Raptors camp when I was doing their games. His dad, Jeff, was a great player at Kentucky as well. But, I mean, you're looking at a lot of players here where you get to 11, and that 11th pick could be better than the player that was taken at 5 or 6. In the meantime, you could get a player drafted at 15 that was better than a guy drafted at 7. And that's where this comes into play as far as need, who you have on the board, who do you like. And I think, you know, as far as athleticism, you want to get a guy who has an upside, and that's what is intriguing about Holland, and that's what's intriguing, even though he's 23, that's what's intriguing, you know, about so many of these players. Terrence Shannon, who we've talked about, you know, I think
has, hell of an athlete.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and we know that he just recently was found not guilty on the rape charges. Obviously, that's going to probably dent some people's opinion of him, the character issue. But I do feel like I agree with you. I don't know that the Bulls are going to draft Terrence Shannon, but it does feel like whoever gets him, that's probably going to be, because he may be worth a top 10 pick in this draft. It's not out of the question, but he's not going to be, and some of it's the character issue. I think that somebody's going to get a really good player in him. It kind of reminds me of Io DeSumo when he was so great at Illinois in his senior year and then just had to wait before the Bulls picked him, and now obviously he has blossomed into a pretty good NBA player.
Yeah, well, again, that Illinois program is awesome, and with Will Riley coming in next year, he's going to be a lottery pick. Let me tell you what, that kid can hoop.
Yeah.
He's out of Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, the same city that produced Jamal Murray. And this is another thing that we've got to look at. You're looking at France having the first and second picks in the draft. You're also looking at France having probably the 9th pick in the draft, the 7th or 8th or 9th, and they're coming.
Yeah.
And Canada's coming. And let me tell you what, in 10 years, you know what continent is going to be well represented in the NBA?
Australia? More?
Africa. Mm. The NBA is pouring millions of dollars into NBA Africa, and they are developing these young players that are going to be NBA talents in another decade. And you can write this down and save this tape, but this is what where the NBA sees itself, that they've got a lot of growth in that continent.
By how things have changed in the NBA, going back to the first dream team of the Olympics where the United States was so far ahead of everybody, and now the world has caught up. And just really quickly before we take the break, yeah, the guy that is most people feel like over 90% in mock drafts going number one to Atlanta is Zachary Risache. Risache. Okay. The 6'9", 195, the small forward, 11 points and 4 rebounds last year. So it looks like that he...
And a very good defensive player. I talked to a guy I know that competed against him in France at that division, and he told me that he is a terrific defensive player. I mean, he's a very fluid player, nice shot. He's got to work on his strength. But as far as just understanding the game, he's got it. It would surprise me if he was not number one. Sard did not work out for the Hawks.
Yeah.
He's the only one that did not work out for them on an invite. And Bill Duffy, who is an outstanding agent, apparently instructed him not to work out. And I think the reason he did that, this is just my opinion, is that Sar's path to playing immediately and not getting caught up in, I'm going to back up Clint Capel. I can play immediately from day one in Washington. And I think that's why that's kind of the narrative.
Got you. All right. We need to take our first break. But when we come back, I got two things for you. I want to tell you something that happened in the Bulls draft. Today is an anniversary, something that happened, 16 years ago today. And we're going to have from 670thescore.com our guy who covers the Bulls most days of his life, Cody Westerlund, will come over here and join us for a couple of segments, along with the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. I am Mark Grody. We are live at the Advocate Center on the west side of our city, getting you ready for the NBA draft, which gets underway in about 40 minutes from right now. The Bulls will select 11th. Chuck and I get to be with you tonight until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I need the score.
When I was a kid, everybody know I'm a Kobe guy at the end of the day. Always been a Kobe guy, been a Laker fan since day one. You know, you can't never say no about playing home, especially for playing, for a historic team like the Lakers. So, you know, time will tell. We'll see where the cards fall. Until then, I'll see what happens.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Bulls Draft Special, live from the Bulls Draft Headquarters at the Advocate Center with Chuck Swirsky and Mark Grody on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That was the voice of DeMar DeRozan that you heard just now from the Run It Back podcast talking about his roots, Los Angeles, and DeMar DeRozan's a free agent, so that is one of the potential destinations for DeMar if the Bulls and DeMar DeRozan don't get a deal done. Our draft coverage is right here on 670 The Score until 8:10 tonight when we hand it off to Zach Zaidman for Cubs pregame coverage from San Francisco. Then starting at 8:10, our draft coverage live from the Advocate Center, where Chuck Swirsky and I are right now, will continue exclusively exclusively on the Odyssey app and 670thescore.com. And joining us here at the table, live at the Advocate Center, is 670 The Score's very own Cody Westerlund. Chuck is here. I am Mark Grody. I wanted to mention this because I will forget. I did tease that there is a draft anniversary today, gentlemen. It was 16 years ago today that the Bulls selected number one overall. Talk about no ambiguity in terms of the draft. Derrick Rose was taken number one overall. But as I'm saying it, I'm looking at number two, Michael Beasley. There was debate, but I don't think that there ever really was debate in the Bulls' minds. They were going to take Derrick Rose.
Well, did they kick the tires on Beasley? Absolutely. And you have to do your due diligence. But that was a two-player draft from the standpoint of who's going number one. Now, that was a really good draft. Kevin Love was in that draft.
Number three. Yeah, Russell Westbrook, O.J. Mayo, Brooke Lopez, Eric Gordon.
Yep. And Kevin Love was traded on draft day for O.J. Mayo. Think about that. I mean, Minnesota, Memphis. But anyway, so the DeMar DeRozan, you know, I'm reading KC, and he's got him going to the Clippers in the event Paul George leaves. Let me tell you what. Here's why I don't think that's going to happen, okay? Number one, I know it looks like a fit if he doesn't re-sign with the Bulls, okay? Because DeMar is from Compton. DeMar wants to play at home. All those things. But if you look at the framework of the Clippers, Tyronn Lue, the head coach, all about defense. All about defense. He just hired his lead assistant, Jeff Van Gundy. All about defense. So I'm saying, okay, so I get it. You're going to, you know, pencil in DeRozan, offensive player. But defensively, not so much. And, again, DeMar is making millions and millions of dollars for his offense, not for his defense. But when you have your system in place and your priority and emphasis, Cody, is defense, that's why I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's a good fit. The Lakers had their chance for DeMar, remember?
They did.
And selected
Westbrook.
They sure
did, yeah.
Remember? And on top of that, they also could have kept Caruso, but they wanted to re-sign Talen Horton-Tucker, who's no longer with the ball club. So these decisions that organizations make, you know, I mean, it's not perfect. It's not scientific. Everyone makes mistakes, including the late, great, rest his soul, Jerry West. For the most part, Jerry West checked the box on a lot of trades, mm-hmm. a lot of drafts, Kobe and company. But, you know, you hope that at the end of the day you make better decisions than those.
You mentioned fit, too, Chuck, there with DeMar DeRozan, and that's why it's interesting. I don't know that DeMar going to the Clippers would be their plan A. Certainly they want to bring Paul George back in a perfect world. The holdup right now on that is he wants basically a max extension. They didn't
Correct.
Give Kawhi a complete max extension. I think that was a 3-year contract. So they're being careful about what they commit into the long-term future. But these teams tonight, over the next few days before free agency starts, they're going to start getting a really good feel for where people are going or whether they're still in sweepstakes for a player in free agency. And I do think a lot pivots on where Paul George wants to go, whether that's back to the Clippers. We know he's been tied to the 76ers, but then you hear reports that interest is kind of waning. Not waning from their side, but they feel like they're being left out of those sweepstakes at this point.
Or they're being used.
Yeah, the 76ers are not as optimistic as they were before is probably
right.
the best way to say it. So a lot of interesting things there. So, like, I think DeMar could, if not the Clippers, maybe land on Philly's radar at some point. Miami's always star hunting. Jimmy Butler sounds like wants to stay there, wants to sign an extension in Miami, so the fit there might not be perfect. But if you're looking on short-term things, like DeMar would be well-served if he's not going to play in Chicago to be on a playoff contender and help someone next year that has big goals. So those are the teams and the organizations that you look at, which is why the Clippers are on the map, which is why I think the 76ers would be a team to watch potentially as well. But you look at his unrestricted free agency coming up on Sunday evening when the sweepstakes start for the open market, and you're saying if you're the Bulls, it's not just what the Bulls want, It's what DeMar wants, too, and I think we're going to get a few hints tonight, then a lot more will play out, too, in the coming days.
We all know how much DeMar DeRozan loves Chicago, seems to love the Bulls organization.
And he does.
I know. It seems pretty genuine about that, but eventually, yeah, guys are going to have to get what they need out of a deal, too, and that's Cody Westerlund here, by the way, with us, Chuck Swirsky, Mark Grody from Advocate Center. How much, and I could ask both of you this question, but I'll start with you, Cody. What are the chances? Like, if you had to put a percentage on it of the possibility of DeMar DeRozan still returning to the Bulls, where would you put it? I had just to get us going, I had Schanowski on last night. He said it's down to, as he put it, 50-50 right now. Yeah. And so where do you put it?
Mullen Hall asked me a similar question this morning.
Oh, they did.
I kind of took the Schanowski cop-out answer too, like 50-50 territory, right?
Yeah.
But I also mentioned to those guys this morning, like, if I had to just guess one way or the other, and this is a guess on something that is close to a 50-50 proposition right now, I'd say he goes because we haven't heard much momentum toward an extension.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten really quiet.
As free agency looms. And this Josh Giddey acquisition has really changed the dynamic in my mind because I don't think Giddey and DeMar DeRozan fit well on the court together.
Mm-hmm.
They both want the ball in their hands. And look, that's fine. DeMar DeRozan's a willing passer. He shared the ball with Coby White a lot last year. But you know what Coby White did, too, is he spots up at the three-point line really, really well. That doesn't work as well when you're playing through DeMar in the high post and Josh Giddey spacing in the corner or on the wing. So that acquisition just, to me, really changed the paradigm here for the Bulls. So that's why I would hedge on DeMar ending up somewhere else. But, look, this is a team that loves to compete. We'll hopefully hear from AK tonight what the goals are for the organization here in the upcoming season. Maybe we get probably not a full answer, but maybe a few hints. I think who they take at number 11 or what they do will give us certainly some indications as well what type of prospect they add. So many moving parts for this team that we've talked about quite a bit.
Well, there are moving parts because let's say that LaVine remains with the Bulls, okay? I think he wants to be moved. I haven't talked to him about this. I've never talked to him, but one would assume
Joe Bag of
Donuts
over
case.
Here.
Joe
yeah.
Bag of Donuts, yeah. One would assume that he'd like to be moved, preferably to a contender. But, again, you know, if I'm a GM, I can't worry about unless there is a player that has been with me for 10 years and you feel, okay, you know what, I want to move him because if I can get him to a contender, I will. At this point, you make the best possible trade for Zach LaVine. I don't care if it's Detroit, Sacramento, yeah. Philadelphia, wherever. I don't care. But if LaVine goes into training camp as a Bull, okay, so you've got LaVine, White, Giddey.
That would be a terrible defensive trio to play together. And you wouldn't be able to do it much, Chuck. Like, that would be a huge concern. So you'd have to probably pick two of those three to start, or if you played three together, you'd be unsuccessful on the defensive end for long stretches of them sharing the floor. So that, to me, like you pointed out, Io DeSumo, really good piece for this team when you look at how he fits into the rotation and brings defensive tenacity, the ability to hit spot-up threes. So many guards, which, as you just pointed out, makes me think, yes, Zach LaVine more likely to be moved before the season starts as well.
Is there the possibility of – we're talking about necessary moves. You know, ultimately it was necessary to move Alex Caruso. It's probably going to be necessary to move Zach LaVine, and it may be in everybody's best interest that DeMar DeRozan is not here. And those are big deals, of course, but what do you think, if you could look ahead – what do you think Arturis Karnišovas is thinking this time around to add the next level to this version of the Bulls? Is there a big move coming? Is there eventually, are they looking ahead to a potential blockbuster free agent in any of this? Is there, what's the hope for Bulls fans right now in terms of how they are going to build the team this time?
Well, I think the hope would lie in who you get at number 11 tonight. Josh Giddey, I think, gives you reason for hope to play in a different way and to maximize offensive talents of a lot of players. It's going to be tricky to surround him with shooting, with guys that can help cover for him defensively. But to me, the hope doesn't lie in any blockbuster move right now, because that is certainly not on
no surprises for us. No Vooch day, none of that stuff.
If you just consider a trade of Zach LaVine to be a blockbuster in of itself.
Yeah, you're right.
But there's no star coming back.
I got
that's changing the course of this team next year. at this point. So, I mean, a blockbuster move for the Bulls would be getting rid of Zach LaVine
really
in a trade
be.
And not having to give up an asset with him, right?
Oh,
like,
man.
Get someone back that can maybe be on the fringe of your rotation in the 9-10-man mix. And at that point, you're off the money, gives you more flexibility moving forward, opens up opportunity for these younger players. So blockbuster only if you're looking at it from the prism of Zach going out. No blockbuster acquisitions yet. I think they got to build up that foundation and base of talent with young guys. And they took a step toward that with Josh Giddey. They can take another step tonight toward that with the number 11 pick. Maybe they can take a step toward that with what they get back in a DeMar DeRozan sign-in trade if it works out that way. Sign-in trades are tricky, right? Because when you're an unrestricted free agent, DeMar has leverage to go anywhere he wants that has cap space. But if the team doesn't have cap space, then you got to get in the mix of the sign-and-trade type situation where everyone in it gets a little bit of what they want. So that's what I would keep an eye on.
Okay, so you've got the 11th pick. Do you go for need or do you go for position as far as best player available at 11? Or do you say to yourself, you know what, I want to shore things up. We need a wing. We need a big man. Or if the best player on the board happens to be a point guard, do you say to yourself, okay, you know what, we're pretty happy what we have at the point right now, but he's the best player available. We need to select him.
I go with the best player available with the caveat here. Like you just pointed out, I don't want someone on my team that's exactly like Josh Giddey, right? Because you just traded him. You know he's going to be in the mix at some point, sign an extension with this team, whether it's before opening night of the regular season, whether it's next summer on a restricted free agency path. So like you pointed out, even if it's a point guard, so you're talking like Nikola Topic from Serbia, are you talking Rob Dillingham?
Who I think is going to be available.
Yeah, like those are guys that could be available in the 11 range, and I'd be careful with Topic just because I feel like he's similar to Giddey in some ways. He's coming off that ACL injury that's kind of had his draft stock go down a little bit. But like you raised the fascinating point, like Rob Dillingham might be the best talent available at number 11, but what is he? Another guard, right? Like incredible shot maker.
Right, yeah. How about
but
Zach
like
Edey?
He's small. He's not fitting in.
How about
the
my
team
guy, right? Zach Edey?
That's
I'm,
a guy,
I'm
by
out.
The way.
You're
yeah.
out?
I'm out. I disagree with you.
Okay.
On
you're dismissed
one,
from
Chuck.
The table, sir.
Now, no, do I think he's going to be picked at 11? No. But I like him. I think he's going to be a 10-year player in this
I
league.
Think he needs a close to a perfect fit where he goes. I think he needs to go to a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder, who need a big man behind Chet Holmgren in the rotation. I don't think you can expect him to come in and play 36 minutes and be a huge difference maker for a Bulls team. Like, he would certainly provide rim protection. I have no doubt about that. But I don't think he fits the modern NBA good enough to play 35, 36 minutes a game.
All right, but Cody, you're saying, well, I don't think he can come in and play 36 minutes. You can't ask anybody to be picked at 11 and play 36 minutes a game. No one is going to come in here.
Probably not in this draft, no.
No.
No. But, I mean, you're looking at – I don't think he's a fit for the modern game, right? He doesn't shoot three-pointers. He's not quick laterally.
He was pretty impressive, though, at the combine.
I don't care that much about the combine. You're shooting on air, Chuck. You're shooting on air. Like, go out and do it in a game. Like,
hey, man.
I have questions about his three-point shot.
Let's put
– lateral quickness is a huge concern.
I'll bet you he goes top 15.
Well, the betting market suggests he goes top 15. You're getting better odds than me on this. Like the Heat like him at 15 potentially, right? Like that's an option, I think.
Let's
like
work
you
out
said,
a deal here. Let's. Oh, we can work. Look at me. We can work on something, okay?
Oklahoma City, I think, would be on the map for Edey just because they do need a big guy. Like I think there's a place for him on a good fit. I don't think that's the Bulls, in my opinion.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm not – listen, they know a lot more upstairs.
Are you putting them on your list? Is Cody getting on your list? Is that what you
no,
just – No,
listen.
Just busted out this piece of paper.
Hey, listen.
You just made the list, pal.
I love transparency. Let's just put everything on the table.
Okay.
I'm just saying if I drafted 11, I would take Zach Edey. But
– Well, we're going to find out because I think he'll be available
yes,
at 11. Yes,
he'll be there.
But I'm not saying that – I'm not saying he's going at 11.
Okay. If GM Chuck was in charge.
But
though.
You would take him. You think he's worthwhile.
I would take him.
Yes.
Because I think the Bulls have to start thinking about getting a big.
They need height.
The
they need
most
a rim
fascinating
protector.
Thing
and they're going to miss Drummond.
The most
yes.
fascinating
oh,
thing
Oh, Drummond's
to me
not back. He's done. He's out of contract. Sorry,
probably
Cody.
Will leave in free agency.
Okay.
Probably is the best way to put
Carry
it.
Carry on, my friend.
But yes. Zach Edey being able to defend the rim and not worrying about fouling outright, like at Purdue, he had to be very, very cautious because you get five fouls in college and he meant so much to the team. Like, he could be really aggressive defensively in, like, 15, 20 minutes in the NBA.
And
like, his rim
protection
could be really –
what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. I think you just take a higher or a higher swing, you know, bigger swing.
Okay. And you know what? And if that swing is with Holland or if that swing is with Williams –
we'll get back to those
Carter,
guys. I like some of those.
Okay. That's good. And I can live with that. I'm just saying, I'm thinking big here.
Yeah, literally.
Literally
yes,
big.
Yes.
Maybe not figuratively, but literally.
I'm glad you have a guy, Chuck. I am. And I, you know, hey, boiler. The Purdue fans that are inevitably listening right now are appreciating every single word of it. When we return, let's talk about some of the other potential prospects, including the Illini guy, Terrence Shannon, who probably will be there at number 11 overall as well. Cody Westerlund is at the table with us out here at the Advocate Center as we get ready for the NBA draft and the Bulls selecting 11th. The voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, sitting right next to me. I am Mark Grody. We'll be back here in a minute on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Job is just to make the game easy for everybody else. That's kind of what I wanted to do, and come in and make sure, you know, guys getting easy looks, guys feel confident on the floor. I feel when you, as a point guard, when you can get other people around you going and making them involved in the game, getting them feeling good early, it opens the game up for everybody. So that's kind of how I see myself, just making basketball and the game simple for everybody else and making it easy for my teammates around me.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Bulls Draft Special, live from the Bulls Draft headquarters at the Advocate Center with Chuck Swirsky and Mark Grody on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That was the voice of Josh Giddey, the result of the Alex Caruso trade, coming over from the Oklahoma City Thunder. As we welcome you back indeed to the Advocate Center, the draft getting underway here in about 10 minutes from right now. The Atlanta Hawks will be on the clock as they have the number one overall pick. We, of course, have the most of our interest and talk will be about the Bulls and the 11th overall pick here tonight. So let's get more into that. Cody Westerlund from 670thescore.com still at the table with us. Chuck Swirsky is here as well. And I don't know.
And don't forget Alex Kuhn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Alex Kuhn back in our downtown Chicago studios. We've got Ryan Porth out here as well. And we've got our Illini guy, Hanson, right? Hanson?
Peter
Hanson. Sorry. It's such a common name that I forget. I knew it was Hanson. I couldn't come up with a Peter, but there it was.
And
Peter
he has Hanson brothers.
Oh, he does. He's the Hanson brothers.
Yes. So, speaking of Atlanta with the number one pick, and unless something major happens between now and when the draft starts in a few minutes, it's going to be Reese Hoshea. I'd be shocked. And they're not going to make that a blockbuster trade.
Zachary.
In fact, I think they're going to blow that situation up. I think Trae Young is gone. I think DeJounte Murray could be gone. I think Capella could be gone. I think they are in full rebuild.
Do you think Trae Young ends up with LeBron and the Lakers, or where do you think he goes, Chuck?
I think there are probably two or three teams that are looking at him. Lakers could be one. New Orleans could be one. Yep. San Antonio, depending on, you know, Pop. One thing about Pop, he wants his guys to play D. Yep. Trae Young is not a defensive-minded player. Now, if he plays, see, here's the thing. Who was an assistant under Pop?
Bud.
Well, him.
A lot of assistants under Pop. That's the name that popped up.
Quinn Snyder, the head coach
Barry
of Atlanta.
Quinn. There you go. Bud.
You don't think they've had conversations that if they were looking at acquiring Trae Young, they'd say, okay, like, I have to know everything.
Yeah.
And so maybe, maybe not. All I'm saying is I think there are a lot of teams in the East in full rebuild mode. Washington, okay? Nets. Charlotte. Okay.
Are you going to say the Bulls' name? Because
no,
we might find out in the next week. It could be a step back, though. It could be quasi.
Okay, but that doesn't necessarily equate to rebuild.
Correct.
You can tinker and you can make adjustments, but that doesn't mean you're saying we're going to trade four guys.
I would agree with that assessment. I'd also say, I mean, what? The Bulls are coming off a 39-win season, right? And you add Josh Giddey, which I think is helpful for the future.
Yes.
It was time for them to look toward a younger crop
Absolutely.
Of talent. But you go from Alex Caruso to Josh Giddey, and you're going from 39 wins, and the number's now going down. But I don't think it's going up on that.
You don't think they do that when they made that? I mean,
yeah, no,
Cody,
they did.
Cody, they're
they
different
did.
Players,
and, wildly and, different
and,
players.
Yeah, and I get that, and they get that. I mean, this is this is not saying anything coming out of the planet Pluto. I mean, it is what it is. All I'm saying is they needed somebody who had court vision, who can push the ball up the floor, and he's a very good passer, has great vision, has a great feel for the game. Is he perfect? No. Does he have flaws? Yes. But, in the big picture of things, they need to have the ball in his hands.
Well, they've been missing that since Lonzo went down in January 2022, the pass-first guy, the connector.
Yes.
And that's what Josh Giddey will be in some ways, and different from Lonzo. He doesn't shoot threes as well, but he also is going to drive the ball more, be in pick-and-roll a little bit more.
I agree.
Than Lonzo. Like, Lonzo was not a pick-and-roll player here, you know what I mean? He was that connector when he was healthy.
I'm throwing out last year for Giddey.
Yeah,
because once Holmgren came in, their entire scope of their offensive scheme and sets changed
radically. The parallel between
look at Josh Giddey's numbers
years ago.
Year two.
Yep, exactly. That parallel to what the Bulls will be this next season is much more lined up than what they were last year. And that was his best season in the NBA. People were really high on him, right? They were already talking like he could be a max extension type player candidate. So certainly had that downfall in year three to not land on that max extension radar extension anymore.
For all the criticism the Bulls have received, how come you didn't get a pick? Oklahoma City has 1,012 picks, and you couldn't get one. How do you know that wasn't discussed? How do you know they didn't try? Or maybe they said, you've got one thing. You can have a pick in 2029 or 27.
I'd take any pick, Chuck. Any
I was going to say,
you would take a pick over Giddey?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, but they should have.
It's like throwing fries in, right?
They decide here.
But
they definitely should have.
You don't think they tried?
I think what probably happened was the Bulls locked in on Giddey and telegraphed how much they wanted him, and then they lost leverage in that negotiation. That's probably the most likely. We don't know that, but I would think that's the most likely outcome, because there's no reason, if you're holding an open auction across the NBA for Alex Caruso, you probably could have got more in the form of picks and players, right? Like last trade deadline, there was some sort of offer on the table from the Warriors. It was a first-round pick. Moses Moody was involved in that. Like, you're looking at a couple assets. They got one asset in this situation, obviously one less playoff run for Alex Caruso going to a new team this time with 1 year left on his contract instead of having two if they would have acquired him last season. But to me, the Bulls probably telegraphed how much they want Giddey. That's how much they think he can help them. And then they didn't have that leverage, and they lost whatever, the standstill, the stare down with the Thunder front office. But, like, look, Sam Presti wins most of his trades. He just does. He won when he traded James Harden, obviously, before to Houston. The Russell Westbrook trade, I should say the Paul George trade to the Clippers is
the only deal he probably could have back was Hayward.
The Gordon Hayward deal was
a disaster.
The first Harden trade was probably one that he wants to regret. So I misspoke there. But the Paul George trade, he won the Chris Paul trade with Houston and Russell Westbrook. Like, he won that one. He's won a lot of trades big fashion through
the
years.
He's very good.
So it's not surprising, really, when you look at it, that Sam Presti ended up getting his way. But the Bulls probably didn't go about it the best way to extract all the value they could have, because Alex Caruso obviously was – according to all reports and interest previously in the NBA, was worth a couple assets probably.
Cody, thanks for stopping by the table. I know that you'll be here throughout the night, so I'm sure we'll see you some more, but appreciate the great stuff as always, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Cody Westerlund.
Speaking of bigs, by the way, Nick Claxton, according to ESPN, 4 years, $100 million to remain with the Nets. Nets had to do that deal, by the way. I mean, because Claxton is a shot blocker, rim protector, and he's going to be, as they move forward, going to be a part of that core group as they move forward with four first-round picks in next year's 2025 draft. Four. Oklahoma City has four.
Oh, man. Good stuff. That's Chuck Swirsky. I just ran into Casey Johnson, by the way, in the food line of NBC Sports Chicago, and I told him that you apparently have a bone to pick with him. You want to start a fight with him. He said, oh, yeah, I'll be ready. I see him. He's feeding his face right now. But he's going to join us over here at the table. so he's ready to rumble with you, Chuck. Chuck Swirsky, Mark Grody here with you at the Advocate Center. The draft about to get underway. The Bulls select 11th. We'll talk more about it next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Job is just to make the game easy for everybody else. That's kind of what I wanted to do, and come in and make sure, you know, guys getting easy looks, guys feel confident on the floor. I feel when you, as a point guard, when you can get other people around you going and making them involved in the game, getting them feeling good early, it opens the game up for everybody. So that's kind of how I see myself, just making basketball and the game simple for everybody else and making it easy for my teammates around me.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Bulls Draft Special, live from the Bulls Draft Headquarters at the Advocate Center with Chuck Swirsky and Mark Grody on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That was the voice of Josh Giddey, the result of the Alex Caruso trade, coming over from the Oklahoma City Thunder. As we welcome you back indeed to the Advocate Center, the draft getting underway here in about 10 minutes from right now. The Atlanta Hawks will be on the clock as they have the number one overall pick. We, of course, have the most of our interest and talk will be about the Bulls and the 11th overall pick here tonight. So let's get more into that. Cody Westerlund from 670thescore.com still at the table with us. Chuck Swirsky is here as well. And I don't know.
And don't forget Alex Kuhn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Alex Kuhn back in our downtown Chicago studios. We've got Ryan Porth out here as well. And we've got our Illini guy, Hanson, right? Hanson?
Peter Hanson.
Sorry. It's such a common name that I forget. I knew it was Hanson. I couldn't come up with a Peter, but there it was.
And
Peter
he has Hanson brothers.
Oh, he does. He's the Hanson brothers.
Yes. So, speaking of Atlanta with the number one pick, and unless something major happens between now and when the draft starts in a few minutes, it's going to be Reese Shea. I'd be shocked. And they're not going to make that a blockbuster trade.
Zachary.
In fact, I think they're going to blow that situation up. I think Trae Young is gone. I think DeJounte Murray could be gone. I think Capella could be gone. I think they are in full rebuild.
Do you think Trae Young ends up with LeBron and the Lakers, or where do you think he goes, Chuck?
I think there are probably two or three teams that are looking at him. Lakers could be one. New Orleans could be one. Yep. San Antonio, depending on, you know, Pop. One thing about Pop, he wants his guys to play D. Yep. Trae Young is not a defensive-minded player. Now, if he plays, see, here's the thing. Who was an assistant under Pop?
Bud.
Well, him.
A lot of assistants under Pop. That's the name that popped up.
Quinn Snyder, the head coach
Barry
of Atlanta.
Quinn. There you
not
go.
Bud.
You don't think they've had conversations that if they were looking at acquiring Trae Young, they'd say, okay, like, I have to know everything.
Yeah.
And so maybe, maybe not. All I'm saying is I think there are a lot of teams in the East in full rebuild mode. Washington, okay? Nets. Charlotte. Okay.
Are you going to say the Bulls' name? Because we might find out in the next week. It could be a step back, though. It could be quasi.
Okay, but that doesn't necessarily equate to rebuild.
Correct.
You can tinker and you can make adjustments, but that doesn't mean you're saying we're going to trade four guys.
I would agree with that assessment. I'd also say, I mean, what? The Bulls are coming off a 39-win season, right? And you add Josh Giddey, which I think is helpful for the future.
Yes.
It was time for them to look toward a younger crop
Absolutely.
Of talent. But you go from Alex Caruso to Josh Giddey, and you're going from 39 wins, and the number's now going down.
But
I don't think it's going up on that. So that's what
you don't think they do that when they made that? I mean,
yeah. No,
Cody,
they did.
Cody, they're
they
different
did.
Players.
Wildly different players.
Yeah, and I get that. And they get that. I mean, this is, you know, this is not is saying anything coming out of the planet Pluto. I mean, you know, it is what it is. All I'm saying is they needed somebody who had court vision, who can push the ball up the floor, and he's a very good passer, has great vision, has a great feel for the game. Is he perfect? No. Does he have flaws? Yes. But, you know, in the big picture of things, they need to have the ball in his hands.
Well, they've been missing that since Lonzo went down in January 2022, the pass-first guy, the connector.
Yes.
And that's what Josh Giddey will be in some ways, and different from Lonzo. He doesn't shoot threes as well, but he also is going to drive the ball more, be in pick-and-roll a little bit more.
I agree.
Than Lonzo. Like, Lonzo was not a pick-and-roll player here, you know what I mean? He was that connector when he was healthy.
I'm throwing out last year for Giddey.
Yeah,
because once Holmgren came in, their entire scope of their offensive scheme and sets changed
radically.
Look at Josh Giddey's numbers year two.
Yep, exactly. That parallel to what the Bulls will be this next season is much more lined up than what they were last year. And that was his best season in the NBA. People were really high on him, right? They were already talking like he could be a max extension type player candidate. So certainly had that downfall in year three to not land on that max extension radar extension anymore.
For all the criticism the Bulls have received, how come you didn't get a pick? Oklahoma City has 1,012 picks, and you couldn't get one. How do you know that wasn't discussed? How do you know they didn't try? Or maybe they said, you've got one thing. You can have a pick in 2029 or 27.
I'd take any pick, Chuck. Any
pick.
Pick over Giddey?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But they should have.
It's like showing fries, right?
They decide here.
But
they definitely should have.
You don't think they tried?
I think what probably happened was the Bulls locked in on Giddey and telegraphed how much they wanted him, and then they lost leverage in that negotiation. That's probably
but we
the
don't
most
know
likely.
That.
We don't know that, but I would think that's the most likely outcome, because there's no reason, if you're holding an open auction across the NBA for Alex Caruso, you probably could have got more in the form of picks and players, right? Like last trade deadline, there was some sort of offer on the table from the Warriors. It was a first-round pick. Moses Moody was involved in that. Like, you're looking at a couple assets. They got one asset in this situation, obviously one less playoff run for Alex Caruso going to a new team this time with 1 year left on his contract instead of having two if they would have acquired him last season. But to me, the Bulls probably telegraphed how much they want Giddey. That's how much they think he can help them. And then they didn't have that leverage, and they lost whatever, you know, the standstill, you know, the stare down with the Thunder front office. But, like, look, Sam Presti wins most of his trades. He just does. He won when he traded James Harden, obviously, before to Houston. The Russell Westbrook trade, I should say the Paul George trade to the Clippers is the one.
Only the
big
where
one
he probably
won.
Could have back was he, Hayward. The Gordon Hayward deal
certainly.
Was a disaster.
The first Harden trade was probably one that he wants to regret. So I misspoke there. But the Paul George trade, he won the Chris Paul trade with Houston and Russell Westbrook. Like, he won that one. He's won a lot of trades big fashion through
the
years.
He's very good.
So it's not surprising, really, when you look at it, that Sam Presti ended up getting his way. But the Bulls probably didn't go about it the best way to extract all the value they could have, because Alex Caruso obviously was – according to all reports and interest previously in the NBA, was worth a couple assets probably.
Cody, thanks for stopping by the table. I know that you'll be here throughout the night, so I'm sure we'll see you some more, but appreciate the great stuff as always, man.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Cody Westerlund.
Speaking of bigs, by the way, Nick Claxton, according to ESPN, 4 years, $100 million to remain with the Nets. Nets had to do that deal, by the way. I mean, because Claxton is a shot blocker, rim protector, and he's going to be, as they move forward, going to be a part of that core group as they move forward with four first-round picks in next year's 2025 draft. Four. Oklahoma City has four.
Oh, man. Good stuff. That's Chuck Swirsky. I just ran into Casey Johnson, by the way, in the food line of NBC Sports Chicago, and I told him that you apparently have a bone to pick with him. You want to start a fight with him? He said, oh, yeah, I'll be ready. I see him. He's feeding his face right now. But he's going to join us over here at the table. so he's ready to rumble with you, Chuck. Chuck Swirsky, Mark Grody here with you at the Advocate Center. The draft about to get underway. The Bulls select 11th. We'll talk more about it next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.